Hazur says, a great lover of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his humble servant, the Imam of the time. In accordance with the prophecies of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the Messiah and the Mahdi who was due to come, who was sent after a long period of darkness by Allah the Almighty, this favor of Allah the Almighty upon us. However much we thank Allah the Almighty for this is insufficient. The best manner of expressing gratitude is this, that this appointed and sent one of Allah the Almighty, his statements, his instructions, and his writings, you should read and ponder over them. And you should make them a part of your lives. Allah the Almighty has said in the Holy Quran that Kunu ma as-sadiqeen, that be with the truthful and seek blessings from the truthful. The best manifestation of this is seen at that time when the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the personage of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam benefited from it and also gained great benefit from being in the presence and the gatherings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those companions then conveyed the instructions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us and related the accounts of these gatherings in which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was present, and also conveyed his guidance and advice. Then this is the second era, in which the true follower of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote numerous books on the beautiful teachings of Islam, and also in commentary of the verses of the Holy Quran. He established the superiority and greatness of Islam to the world. However, many of his gatherings in which he was present are such that were with the companions of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Some of these were small, whilst others were large. And some were in the form of speeches at jalsas. But some of these are not present or included in any books. In these gatherings, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's companions, they attained the following blessing, that the true follower of this time, they attained blessings from his physical presence. These gatherings in that time were preserved in the newspapers of the Jamaat. How fortunate are those people who attain the beneficence and blessings of being in the gathering of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and implemented the teaching of the Holy Quran to be in the company of the truthful. To those who sat in these gatherings, and to those who asked various questions, and to those who preserved those most wise statements, we are most grateful. That through those who preserved these things, today, after 100 years have passed, we are still able to read and listen to those things. And reading these things and listening to them through our eye of imagination, we can perceive ourselves being in the gathering of that true servant of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Today, with regard to such gatherings in which formal prayer, connection with Almighty Allah, the counsel and guidance he imparted with regards to these things, I have taken some of these counsels and advice. In one of his speeches in 1907 at the occasion of Jalsa, it was a very long speech in which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, that is drawing attention towards prayer, So he says, remember that Allah the Almighty has started the Holy Quran with a prayer, and Allah has concluded the Holy Quran with a prayer. This means that humans are weak, and without the grace and blessings of Allah, it is impossible for him to become purified. And until he receives help and succor from Allah, he cannot in any way progress in piety. It is mentioned in a hadith that everybody is dead except he whom Allah grants life, and all are misguided except one whom Allah guides, and all are blind except one whom Allah gives sight. So in short, until there is the blessing and grace of God, the yoke of this world's adoration remains around one's neck. Hazrat says, that is, that the love of the world remains around the neck of a person like a collar. Only those are saved from this on whom there is Allah's grace. However, it should be remembered that God's beneficence also starts with dua, or prayer. So Hazrat says, if you want to attain Allah's grace, you need to pray to Allah. Then, with regard to removing the doubts and suspicions and evil temptations that come into your mind during prayer, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam said, what kind of prayer is this? That you verbally profess, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqeem, that guide us in the right path, but then you think in during the prayer that I need to do this business still, or this work of mine is still to be carried out, or this still needs to be done, or if this happens I should do this. If you think and do all of this, then this is just wasting your life. Until a person does not give precedence to the Holy Quran and does not act in exact accordance with it, until then his prayers are just a waste of time. Hazrat says, this is why the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that you should pray. There is an incident that there was a holy or elder person who went to a mosque. There the Imam al-Salah, the person who was leading the prayer, whilst he was leading the prayer, he was thinking about his work. This account has been related by Hazrat Muslim of the second Khalifa. So he was thinking that I would get some commodities from Amritsar and take it to New Delhi, and I would earn so much from it. Then I would take it to Calcutta and earn this much profit from it, then I would go forward. So this person who was praying behind him, he broke his prayer off. And he started praying separately, because Allah the Almighty had revealed to this holy person through a revelation the state of the heart of the person leading the prayer. Later, people complained that this person did not pray behind you. He broke his prayer. So that leader of the prayer asked very angrily that, what is the reason? Why did you break the prayer? This is such a large sin. So he replied, he said, Maulvi Sahib, I am a weak and elderly person. You started your journey from Amritsar, then you reached Calcutta, and then you wanted to go forward. So I cannot travel so much with you. So Hazrat says, this is a state of some people who lead the prayer. Then, in an address of 1906, the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that what is formal prayer? It is a type of prayer in which there should be complete pain and anguish. This is why it is called Salah, or prayer. Because when a person submits to God in travail and burning with a heart aflame, that the vicious thoughts and evil designs may be got rid of, and holy love and a pure relationship may be established instead. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam said, the word Salah indicates that true prayer is not offered only verbally, but it must be accompanied with a burning desire and also a pain. God Almighty does not accept prayer until the worshipper at the time of prayer arrives on the brink of death. Supplicating for prayer is a difficult task and people are not familiar with it. Many people write to me that I prayed for such and such matter, but the prayer did not have any effect. And then they think ill of God because of this, and then they become frustrated and are destroyed as a result. They are not aware that until the requirements of prayer are not fulfilled, that prayer is useless. Amongst the requirements of prayer is that your heart should melt, and the soul should flow like water at the divine threshold, and with pain and anxiety instilled in it. This is how it should be performed. And similarly, one should not be hasty and impatient in the prayer. Rather, he should continue to pray with patience and fortitude. It is then that one can expect that the dua or the prayer will gain acceptance. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, Salah, or formal prayer, is of a very high level of prayer, but unfortunately, people do not appreciate it duly, and all they know of it is that habitually or routinely, the qiyam, the ruku, or the sujood, all of these postures of the prayer should be performed, and certain statements are recited like parrots. Whether they understand it or not is regardless. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, Remember, we and everybody searching for the truth. That is, a prayer which is this type of blessing, there is no other need for any other kind of innovations. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, faced any difficulty or tribulation, he would immediately stand up for prayer. And the experience of ours and the previous righteous people is that nothing more than prayer can lead one towards Allah. When a person does qiyam during the prayer, that is, does the standing posture, then he stands with great respect. In a similar way that a slave stands respectfully before his master or king with hands folded, then there is ruku, the bowing, which is even greater in humility or respect than the qiyam, and then the sajda prostration is a climax of this humility. When a person indicates his complete effacement of himself, he bows down in sajda, in prostration. It is unfortunate that people want to amend or alter their prayer and they criticize it. These are the discussions of great morality. Until a person does not partake of that knowledge, where the prayer reaches its highest point, until then a person does not attain anything. That person who does not believe in God, how can he believe in prayer? Then the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, Therefore, I want to say that you should pray to Allah the Almighty with extreme tenderness and great passion, that just as he bestowed fruits and various other pleasures, he should similarly let us savor the pleasure of worship and salah of formal prayer once, because you will remember what you tasted. Look, if one looks at another who is beautiful with delight, then he remembers him vividly. Then, if he sees someone who is displeasurable or of not good countenance, then the previous beautiful person comes before him immediately. Indeed, if he has no relationship, then this is not remembered. Similarly, for those who do not want to perform prayer, it is a penalty for them. It is too much that they have to wake up in the morning in cold, leave their sleep, and leave all sorts of comforts, and then perform the prayer. In reality, they have an aversion from prayer. They do not comprehend it. The great delight, pleasure, and taste of prayer, they are not aware of it. So then how can they benefit from the prayer? Then in the gathering of 1906, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, guiding his people, that in the issue of prayer, an example is given, that in this issue of prayer, the Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace be upon him, has given many examples. There was a judge who would not dispense justice for anyone, and every day and night he would remain engrossed in his comfort. There was a lady who was going through a case. She would always come to the door of the judge and ask for justice. She would keep on doing this to the extent that the judge became disturbed. And finally, he made a decision in that case, and he gave this lady her justice. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, Look, your God, is he not even like a judge, that he cannot accept your prayer and not provide you with your desires? You should with steadfastness pray and remain engaged in it. And when you do this, the time for the acceptance of prayer will indeed come, but steadfastness is the condition. Then, in one place, the Promised Messiah ﷺ says at a gathering that prayers should not be considered as a ceremonial task. In fact, Allah the Almighty upon such people sends His curse, rather than their prayer be accepted. Allah the Almighty Himself says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ, so woe to those who pray. This is in regard to those people who do not understand the true reality of prayer. The companions, may peace be upon them, they were well versed in Arabic and understood the reality of it deeply. But it is important for us to understand the meanings of the prayer and develop such a savory attitude in our prayer. But these people have assumed as if a new prophet has come and cancelled the prayer. Hazrat says that instead of comprehending the reality of prayer, they have made prayer such that it is as if a ceremonial task. And they have assumed as if a new prophet has come and given a new instruction. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, look, there is no benefit in this for God. In fact, there is benefit in this for humans. He attains an opportunity to bow at the threshold of God, and he has given this respect, through which he can come out of many problems. I am astonished at how can these people live that so many days and nights pass without them realizing or without them knowing that they have a God. Remember, such a person is destroyed today and tomorrow as well. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, I give you an important guidance, and may this be embedded in the hearts of people. Look, life is passing by. Abandon negligence and adopt humility. Pray to God alone, that He may keep faith alive and that He may be pleased with you. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam was present in an assembly in 1907, and there it was mentioned that there was a disagreement between two people. So the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, imparted various advice in this gathering, and amongst them was this, that until the heart is clean, prayer does not gain acceptance. Even if you have malice about a worldly matter with one person, then your prayer cannot be accepted. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, with regard to the enmity and rancor that are held between one another and the disagreements as well, he says, leave these. Remove the grudges and rancor from your hearts. He said, if you have rancor and grudge in your heart, then your prayer cannot be accepted. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam said, you should remember clearly that do not have enmity with anyone over worldly matters. What worth does this world and its matters have that one should keep enmity regarding them? The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would go for an early morning stroll, and sometimes people would be with him, and they would speak about various issues. So this is a mention of one of his early morning strolls of 1908. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, held a lengthy discussion. I have taken a part of it, and he says that some people are such that they hear something from one ear and it goes out of their other. They do not take these matters to heart, no matter how much advice is given, but there is no effect on them. Remember that God is independent, and He is besought of all. Unless prayer is made repeatedly and with profusion and tenderness of heart, He does not care. Look, if a person's wife or child falls ill, or a person faces a serious trial, how serious a person takes it and how anxious and aggrieved he becomes. So until there is true anguish in the prayer and passion, Until then, that prayer will be completely ineffective and futile. Anguish is a condition for prayer. As Allah the Almighty says, أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُزْتَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ, that who answers the distressed person when he calls upon him and removes the difficulties. Who listens to this prayer? The Promised Messiah says it is Allah alone who answers these prayers. In an assembly in Lahore when non-Ahmadis were present, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, delivered a long address. And he spoke about dua or prayer in this address. In this, he says the true significance of Islam is that man makes his own preference secondary to the preference of God. He says, however, the truth is that this station cannot be attained by one's power. Indeed, there is no doubt that it is man's obligation to make endeavors for this. But the true and real source to attain this station is dua or prayer. Man is weak. Unless he attains strength and help from dua or prayer, he cannot traverse this difficult passage. God himself has stated regarding man's weakness and infirmity. Allah the Almighty himself says regarding human weakness and infirmity, and he says this, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, that man has been created weak. So therefore, in spite of such weakness, it is vain imagination to claim attaining such an elevated station through one's own strength. For this, there is a great need of dua or prayer. Dua has tremendous power, which solves great difficulties, and through it, man traverses challenging passages with extreme ease. Because prayer is a channel which absorbs that power and beneficence which actually comes from God. One who engages in prayers with profusion ultimately attracts this beneficence. And becoming one who is helped by God, he attains his objectives. Indeed, prayer on its own is not God's will. Rather, first of all efforts and endeavors should be brought in action and then prayer made. To not avail of planning and only avail of prayer is ignorance of the etiquette of prayer and is also challenging God. And to only rely on planning and to consider prayer as nothing, this is atheism or non-belief. That is, understand and know clearly that prayer is a great treasure. No calamity will befall one who does not abandon prayer. And he is safeguarded in such a fort where guards are protecting him at all time. But he who is negligent of prayer, he is like such a person who is without any weapons, and he is also weak, and he is in such a jungle which is filled with wild animals, and he knows that he is not going to survive. He is going to fall prey to these animals in just 1 minute, and nothing will be left of him. So therefore remember that the great fortune person and the true means of his protection is prayer. Prayer is the means of his protection if he remains engrossed in it at all times. Then in a gathering that took place in Lahore, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that after reformation of the morals, the second issue is that through prayers, the love of Allah should be attained purely. That is, you should reform your morals after this. Through your prayers, you should try to acquire the pure love of Allah. And you should refrain from every kind of vice and sin. And such a state should overcome you. That cleansing all internal filth, one should become like a drop of pure liquid. Until this state does not overcome you, until then there is only danger. But alongside prayer, planning should also be done, because God likes planning as well. And this is why he states in the Quran, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ عَمْرًا, that by those who plan and execute their task well. When, in order to pass through this stage, they pray, and through planning they work in such a way that this meeting and these gatherings and this relationship, these things which are hindering, he would remove them all, and he would also become far removed from pretense. So when he does this and prays, one day he will witness the acceptance of prayers. It is a mistake on the part of those people who pray and say this prayer has no effect. And they say that we have prayed so much, but the prayer has not been accepted, although they have not fulfilled the right of prayer. So then how can it be accepted? If a person is hungry or extremely thirsty, and he only takes a drop of fluid and says, I have not quenched my thirst, would you consider his complaint worthy? Absolutely not. Until he takes the correct quantity of food or water, there will be no use whatsoever. This is a similar state of prayer. If with dedication a person prays, and he does it with fulfilling the requirements, and he also considers the time, it will be expected and hopeful that he will fulfill his objectives one day. But if he leaves the prayer halfway, then it is as if a person has died, as if he has become misguided. And others are going to die. Hazrat says, that is, he who leaves his prayer halfway, he will be misguided. The Promised Messiah continues, there are vices in which people are immersed in. To such people, what can a few days' prayers benefit them? Then there is pride, arrogance, and self-conceitedness, and also pretense. These are all ailments in them, which make the righteous deeds go to waste. The example of a pious deed is like a bird. If you keep it in the cage of truth and sincerity, then it will stay, otherwise it will fly away. And this cannot be attained without God's grace. Allah the Almighty states, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُّ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادِتِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Here, amal salihan, good works signify that there is no adulteration of any wickedness in them, and they only constitute goodness. There should be no pride, no haughtiness, no arrogance, or any measure of selfish motives, or any selfish desires, or any hopes associated with people. That is, if you have expectations of people and your attention towards them, to the extent that you should have no desire for even a heaven of hell. The deed should stem from love of God only. If you have any other desire, then you will stumble. And this is called shirk, associating partners with God. But what is the use of that other friendship? This is like a cup of tea, or something else empty. A person, when he sees a difference, it is in that when this relationship will be severed. Those people who form a relationship with God so that they can attain some kind of wealth, or so that they can be given progeny, or so that they can be successful in this and this work, their relationship is only temporary, and their faith is also in danger. The day when their objectives are hindered, that is, their personal desires are harmed in any way, on that day their faith is affected. This is why a true and firm believer is that in any state, he does not only worship God to attain some support. He does not worship God only in the circumstance that if he achieves this or attains this, then he will pray. There is another account of 1904 in Lahore, in a gathering where the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, there are so many who do verbally profess belief in God, but if you peer through them, you will come to know that there is actually atheism or disbelief within them, because when they are engaged in worldly activities, then they forget the divine wrath and the greatness of Allah. This is why it is completely necessary that through the medium of prayer, you should attain knowledge and understanding from God. Without this, you could not attain complete belief. This will be attained at that point when you have the knowledge that by severing your relationship with God is like death. And to be safeguarded from sin, you should pray. And with the prayers, you should also plan. You should not leave out working with your own hand. That is, to be safeguarded from sin, you should pray and also make efforts and plan. And all such gatherings or meetings, which if you attend, it will lead you to sin, you should refrain from attending such meetings. Azhar says, this is extremely important, in particular for youngsters, that all these gatherings, all these meetings, all these worldly activities, through which sin will result, you should cancel these and leave these. And alongside, you should also pray. And you should know very clearly that all these calamities which are born through divine decree, until the help and succor of Allah is not present, you will not be delivered from them. Formal prayer, which is offered 5 times daily, it also indicates towards this fact that if selfish desires and the ego, if you do not protect yourself from this, until then your prayer will not be a true prayer. Prayer does not mean to just strike down on the floor and to ceremoniously perform the postures. Prayer is something which the heart also feels, and the soul or the spirit melts and falls upon the divine threshold. To the extent your strength allows, you should try to develop anguish and pain, and you should pray with great humility that the sin which is within the soul or the self, that should be far removed. This type of prayer is blessed. And if you steadfastly try to adhere to this principle, you will see that during the night or during the day, a nur, a light, will fall upon his heart, and the nafs-e amara, the self that incites to evil, will recede. Just like there is a deadly poison. In this same way, nafs-e amara, the self that incites to evil, is like a deadly poison. And he who created that, he also has the cure for it. Hazrat said, that is, Allah the Almighty created it. That is, all those harmful things, Allah the Almighty also has a remedy for them. So you must ask for Him for that cure, purely, and with making your own efforts at the same time. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in an assembly 94 with people who had newly taken their pledge of allegiance, the Promised Messiah said that for prayer, one should probe his heart, whether one is inclined towards this world or towards the faith. That is, are his profuse prayers mostly for worldly comforts or to serve the faith? Hazur said this is something which must be noted most acutely. That observe which way are you inclined towards the world or towards the faith. And how do we measure this? The Promised Messiah alayhi salam said that observe that when you pray, are those prayers mostly for worldly comforts and ease? Are they mostly for worldly needs or for the faith? Or are they for serving the faith? So therefore, if you come to know that while sitting and standing and whilst lying, you only think of materialistic ideas and not the faith, so such a person should weep on the state of his condition. If you only consider worldly matters and not the faith, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says that you should weep if your condition is such. It has been seen on many a times that people make great efforts and struggles for worldly achievements, and they also pray for this, and the result of all of this is that they fall victim to various ailments. Some people become crazy or fanatical, but if all of this is done for the sake of Almighty Allah, Allah will never let this go to waste. And the example of deeds is like a grain. If somebody is given a grain and he leaves it somewhere and does not utilize it, then in the end it will be eaten by worms. In the same way, if your statement is not acted upon, then slowly that statement will also go to waste. This is why you need to move towards making actions. That is, go towards actually making actions. Azhar says, if you plant a seed, a tree will sprout from it. If you leave it, then worms will eat it. Next, in January 1908, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said in a gathering that what is prayer? Prayer is of two kinds. That is, there are two types of prayer. One is done in a normal or ordinary way. The other takes a person to the extreme or higher state. So therefore, the latter is the real kind of prayer. One should pray, even if there are no troubles of face. It is not necessary that only when you face difficulties you should pray. In fact, you should also pray in normal circumstances. Because what does a person know what God's will or desire is, and what the future holds? Therefore, prayer should be made beforehand so that one is saved in time. Sometimes adversities fall in a way when one does not even find time for prayer. So therefore, if you have prayed from beforehand, then they come to use at the required time. Hazrat says, this is the significance of prayer. Then during a speech, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that the physical makeup of a person, his two hands and his two feet, they are there to help each other. This is present within a person, then it is so astonishing and surprising that a person does not understand ta'awunu alal birri wa taqwa, the verse of the Holy Quran that help one another in righteousness and piety, that a person has hands and he has feet. The makeup of the body of the person, the whole physical appearance, every part of his body is there to help another part of the body. So the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, in the same way, the awunu alal birri wa taqwa, that help one another in righteousness and piety, they find it difficult to understand it. Yes, I do say that to try and find the means, they should be found through prayers. Hazrat says that is worldly provisions, if you want to search them out, they should be found through prayers. Then the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that with regard to mutual help, I do not believe that with regard to mutual help, I do not believe that when a dispensation of Allah the Almighty is established and it is displayed or manifested, that it should be rejected. Allah has clarified this explicitly, and in order to clarify this, the prophets of Allah, they were sent. Allah the Almighty was in possession of the power, and He is in the possession of the power, that if He so desired, He would not have left any helpers with the prophets. But even then, a time comes upon the prophets when they are obligated to call out, Man Ansari ilallah, that who will be my helpers in the cause of Allah? Are they calling out like beggars? No, not at all. When they call out Man Ansari ilallah, there is a glorious aspect regarding it. They want to teach the world the way to attain provisions. When the prophets say, who will be my helpers in the cause of Allah? Then there are no need of this. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, they want to teach the world the means of attaining provisions. And this is an aspect of prayer. Otherwise, they have complete and perfect belief in Allah and complete belief in His promises. They are fully aware that it is the promise of Almighty Allah that إِلَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that most surely we help our messengers and those who believe. They believe this to be a certainty. If Allah did not put the sentiment of help in the minds of people, then how can He help them? In reality, a true helper and a true aid is that pure person who, with regard to Ni'mal Mawla and Ni'mal Wakeel wa Ni'mal Naseer, that is a true helper and the glory of God. That is a Ni'mal Mawla wa Ni'mal Wakeel and Ni'mal Naseer, that is a true helper and succor and the glory of God. So in comparison to this, the worldly helps in front of this is nothing, and they are equal to worms. However, in order to teach a significant lesson of prayer to the world, they also adopt this path. But in reality, they know that Allah is a true caretaker, and it's absolutely true that Allah selects and appoints such people that through other people their work is manifested. Our Prophet, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, at different occasions, he used to call out for help, because that time was the time of the help of Allah. and he would search for that. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that the example of prayer is like a spring of delicious water in which a believer sits in. Whensoever he desires, he can saturate himself in this spring of water. Just as fish cannot survive without water, similarly, prayer is like water for a believer without which he cannot remain alive. The most appropriate occasion of such prayer is Salah, the formal prayer, in which a believer finds rapture and delight. And you receive such rapture and delight, which is even more than attaining something voluptuous. The largest outcome of prayer is attaining nearness to Allah. It is through prayer alone that a person becomes near to Allah, and through which Allah draws him towards himself. When in a person's prayer there is sincerity, and he cuts himself off from the world, then Allah has mercy upon him, and Allah becomes his caretaker. If a person ponders over his life, then without divine guardianship, the life of a person becomes unpalatable. When a person reaches maturity, and he understands what is right and wrong, then all the difficulties and all sorts of tribulations, a long sequence of this begins, and he faces all of this. In order to safeguard himself from this, he makes every effort, through wealth, through his contacts, through any kind of deception or fraud. Hazrat says there are difficulties faced in the world when the sequence begins, and what does he do to try and escape from this? He might have money, he might have contacts, he uses this to try and escape from these difficulties. If he has contacts with senior officers, then he tries to utilize those contacts. Or he used some kind of fraud or deception or trickery to try and escape and to try and come out of these difficulties. However, it is difficult for him to be successful in these attempts. Sometimes the outcome of all these efforts is that he commits suicide. Now in this anguish of the worldly people and in these difficulties, if you compare them with the difficulties of the prophets, then in comparison to the difficulties of prophets, they are nothing. That is, those difficulties are nothings in comparison. However, these difficulties and tribulations cannot dishearten or anguish this pious group. Hazur says that these trials and difficulties, they do not aggrieve and harm these prophets. It does not affect their delight or pleasure, because through their prayers, they are under the guardianship of Allah. Now observe, if a person has a connection with a ruler, and that ruler gives him the word that he will protect him at a time of difficulty, then such a person at a time of difficulty, his protection is in the hands of a ruler, and therefore he will not be worried or aggrieved. So such a person who has even a stronger relationship with the chief ruler, during the time of difficulties, why will he be worried? The prophets, the difficulties they face, if even a hundredth of that was faced by those others, they would not have any strength left to remain to live. When these people come to reform the world, then the people oppose them. Hundreds, thousands of people want to kill these prophets. They are bloodthirsty for them, but these dangerous enemies cannot affect their thoughts or reassurance at all. If a person has one enemy even, then he does not remain free or safe from his danger. But if a person has the whole nation against him, but still he remains living in a peaceful life. And they face all of this coolly. This endurance is a miracle. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in terms of his steadfastness, that was even greater than 100,000 of his miracles. That was one of his miracles. He was given so many temptations. For example, ruler, beautiful wives. He was given so many griefs, so many temptations. And he was given these with the agreement that he should leave the unity of Allah. However, His reply was in the negative, and he said, I cut off myself, my ego. He said that I am under purely the commandment of Allah, and then to endure all the difficulties. This is an incredible miracle. All of this strength, all of this endurance was attained through that prayer that is given to a believer through Allah. At times, their prayer breaks the attempts of the dangerous enemies. The account of Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, when he went out to kill the Holy Prophet ﷺ, you must have heard that Abu Jahl had published an advertisement that whoever kills him, he will receive so many rewards. Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, before he accepted Islam, he had made an agreement with Abu Jahl. And he left to kill the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He waited for an ideal opportunity. And then he found out that the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he would go to the Khana Kaaba at a certain time for prayer. So Hadrat Umar, in the evening, he went to the Khana Kaaba. During the middle of the night, he heard a voice from the jungle, La ilaha illallah, there is none worthy of worship except Allah. Hadrat Umar decided that the Holy Prophet ﷺ, when he was going to prostrate, he would kill him at that time. The Holy Prophet ﷺ started praying with great anguish and pain, and he started remembering the Divine in prostration to such an extent that the heart of Hadrat Umar opened and all his bravery receded. After the prayer was finished, the Holy Prophet ﷺ went back to his home, and Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, went behind him. The Holy Prophet ﷺ inquired, and then when he found out, he said, O Umar, are you not going to leave me? Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, Hadrat, I have left my intention to kill you. Do not curse me. So Hadrat Umar used to say that that was the first night when the love of Islam inculcated within me. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, that is during a discussion or one of his assemblies, he said, the enemy only objects to us because of his enmity, because his heart is corrupted, and when someone's heart is corrupted, then darkness is seen from all sides. The foolish say that he, the Promised Messiah, sits in one place and does not perform any work, but they do not realize that it is not stated about the Messiah, that is about the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, that it is said that he did not do any work. This is what they alleged. But it is said that they do not realize that it does not say about the Messiah that he will raise a sword, or neither does it say that he will fight any battle. Rather, it is stated that through his blowing the disbelievers will die. That is, he will do all his work through prayer. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam said that if I knew that my going out and going in the cities would be of any benefit, that I would not stay in this place for even a moment. However, I am aware that from going here and there, it will have no use whatsoever. And all of the objectives that we desire to attain, they will only be obtained through prayer. There is great strength and power in prayer. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam said that once a king went out to capture or conquer a country. On the way, a beggar grabbed his horse and said, do not go forward, otherwise I will fight you. The king was astonished, so he asked him, that you are just a helpless beggar without any means or weapons, how can you fight me? The beggar replied, that I will fight you with my prayers that I performed in the morning. The king replied, I cannot compete with this beggar. So saying this, he returned, that is, the king returned. So therefore, there are many qualities and strength in prayer, and Allah the Almighty has told me repeatedly through revelations that whatever is to happen through prayer. Our weapon is prayer alone. And apart from this, there is no weapon that I have. Whatever we ask from the unseen, Allah the Almighty will manifest it. In the time of the previous prophets, some enemies were punished through the prophets. But Allah is well aware that we are weak. And this is why he has taken all the work in his own hands. For the sake of Islam, this is the only path. No dry mullah or dull philosophy can comprehend this. If the path of battle was open to us, then all provisions and means would be provided for it. But when our prayer reaches a certain point, then falsehood will automatically vanish. The foolish enemy who has a black heart, he says that apart from eating and sleeping, he has no work. However, in our view, there is no sharper weapon than prayer. Righteous is that person who comprehends and understands this, that Allah the Almighty, now through which path does he want religion to progress? Hazur said, this subject of prayer that today I have presented before you. May Allah enable us to understand this aspect of prayer and grant us the ability to adopt it within our lives. May we always have the being of Allah in view, and may the attainment of His pleasure always be in our minds. In every difficulty and every comfort, may we always submit before Allah and supplicate to Him, and may we always understand the significance of doing this. May we be those who understand this spirit in essence, that with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that after coming into his bed, pledge of allegiance, may we understand what responsibilities fall upon us, and this is a great responsibility on us, that now our every statement and every deed should always be for the sake of attaining Allah's pleasure. May Allah grant us the ability to do this. May we be those who give precedence to the faith over the world, and may we be those who pray for the sake of the faith. In these days, with regards to the enemies of Ahmadiyyat who are reaching extreme heights of opposition, pray especially for the safeguarding and protection of the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty rebound every evil of the enemy upon themselves, and may He protect the Jamaat at every moment. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. O Allah, we make you a shield against the enemy, and we seek your protection against their evil designs. Rabbi inni muzluman fantasir. O my Lord, I have been wronged. You avenge me. Rabbi kullu shay'in khadumaka. Rabbi fa'fazni wansurini warhamni. O my Lord, every single thing serves you. Then protect me, and help me, and have mercy on me. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam would especially pray this as well. Rabbi tawaffani musliman walhikni bisalihin. That, O my God, cause me to die a Muslim and join me to the pious. May we be those who are always with the righteous. May Allah the Almighty accept our prayers. May we be those who follow that way and that path which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wished us to tread on.